pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
He knows you. And for the rest of your life on earth and for all eternity, you get to enjoy knowing him better and better.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series called Unleashed, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program today, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. You can find out more about it and even receive a copy of your very own for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So as you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. At PastorAlan.org, find out more about it and make your request. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Again, our website, PastorAlan.org. More on this later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
He couldn't think of anything he was thankful for, and his anger was too much, and the couple needed to separate, and they were separated. I tried several occasions to help him, and he would reject most forms of help, and his heart seemed impenetrable. But I had counseled with him some, and a little bit of conversation about how to treat a woman. And so he started sending her flowers and saying all the right things. And then she said that she wanted to have him over for dinner. And though it was certainly against my counsel, it was too early for it, she had him stay the night. And the next morning, he said, I'll go get my things. And she said, no, we're not ready to move in back together. This was just this night, just a step in that direction. And he quietly walked out, went to his truck, got some wire clippers and clipped the telephone wire to the house and came back in and began to strangle her. And if the toddler had not happened into the room to distract him, he would have killed her that day, but she escaped. He had been saying the right things, sending her flowers, doing the right things, and at first she was giving the response that he wanted, but as soon as she didn't give the response that he wanted to kill her. Why? Because that wasn't a relationship about knowing and being known. That was some confused arrangement of entitlement mentalities wherein he thought it was about, if I do enough of the right things, then I will have you, and that is not the way relationship works. In fact, any measure of that type of mentality erodes the relationship. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, man. Bring your wife flowers. But if you're doing it because it's just the right thing to do, not because you love her and you know her and you want, then in some ways it erodes. The conspiracy of hell is to lure us away from the simple knowledge of God to performance-based allegiance. In his brilliant and beautiful little book, The Prodigal God, Tim Keller talks as much about the older brother in the famous prodigal son story as he does the younger. Because it's really a story about a father who lavishly loved two sons. And one son went off into abject rebellion and lived amongst the pigs and the prostitutes. But the other son, the older son, was at home dutifully working, conforming to all expectations. And Keller makes this dramatic point. The older brother doesn't come into the celebration once the younger brother has come home. And the reason the older brother doesn't come in is he says to his father, I've never disobeyed you. And here I've been slaving for you. And yet you've never done anything for me. The father said, everything I have is yours. Please come in. And he never goes in. And Keller makes this point, which I think is remarkable. The elder brother is missing the father's love. not because of that older brother's moral and behavioral errors, not because he's bad, but because he's good. His obedience because the way he looked at it as law actually kept him from the Father's heart. Here's what's astounding. God wants to be known. Let's be honest about it. There's only one real reason that I never knew Billy Graham. We might as well be honest about it. Okay? Let's just say it and be done with it. The reason that I didn't know Billy Graham is because Billy Graham didn't want to know me. I mean, it sounds mean, but it's just the way it was, you know? In his long and beautiful life, he never had one moment, not one second of all those years of his life, not one second did he sit there and go, you know, I'd like to invite Alan Wright to come up here and have lunch. It just never went through his mind. Just didn't go through his mind. You know, if you're going to get to know somebody of that stature, they need to want to be known by you. God wants you to know him. Jeremiah chapter 9, this is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. He's just delighted for somebody to know him. Hosea was given a real life allegorical picture of the love of God when he was told that he was to marry a woman of ill repute, and then he was to love the wife of unfaithfulness so that he could understand the way God loves us. And Hosea 6 verse 6, the prophecy reads, I desired the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God's saying, I never desired 1,000 rams on the altar. I desire is that you know me. And here's what's even more astounding. God not only wants you to know him, but he wants it so much that he pursues you for you to know him. It sounds like a very strange thing to say, but I believe it's absolutely true of what we see in the gospel. God wants to know you experientially. That's in large measure what your prayer life, your devotional life, your worship life, your time with God is a joy to his heart. Because I know I'm on thin ice here. If you talk about an omniscient being knowing something that he may not currently know, because he knows everything about you. He is absolutely all-knowing. But if you could say that there was something God didn't know, it would be someone who doesn't want to submit to him and love him and worship him. You could say, in a sense, that what God is missing is the experiential knowledge of that person's affection and indeed fellowship. He said to Moses in Exodus 33, Lord said to Moses, I'm pleased with you and I know you. I just love the fact that I know you. When Adam was hiding from God after sin came in the world, and God said, Adam, where are you? God knew where he was, but he didn't have the fellowship of Adam. I'm the good shepherd, Jesus said. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. It's not just about you knowing God. It's about God knowing you. And here's what's even more extraordinary. God has so wanted you to know him and him to know you that he has made it possible. And it would be absolutely impossible except for the fact that he has made it possible. It means that you can't buy a ticket to get to know God. You got to be given this.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. Those timeless words from Jeremiah 30 reveal the heart of God. He loves to restore. In ancient times, cities would often be rebuilt on top of the ruins of the former city. The new city would stand higher, with safer walls and a greater perspective. In Pastor Alan Wright's 8-message CD album, Out of the Ruins, you'll discover how God can rebuild your life gloriously out of yesterday's disappointments. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
My wife and I had an amazing privilege. Here I mentioned in two illustrations in one sermon getting to sit near the Hornets game, and now another one. Don't think this only happened twice in the last 10 years to me. but this was a wonderful privilege that my wife and I had, I guess, a week and a half ago. A friend who plays the guitar and is one of the best guitarists in the world, Ron Block, who plays in Alison Krauss's band. Alison Krauss has won more Grammys than anybody alive. Probably the most beautiful voice of any woman alive. And he sent me a text. He said, "We're going to be in Charlotte doing a show." He said, "I've got a couple of complimentary tickets if you and Ann want to come." And I said, "Yeah." And we'll see you there. And I looked online. I looked on Alison Krauss' website to see what time the show was and where and the address and so forth. And it wasn't listed on her website. And I looked the venue at the Performing Arts Center in downtown Charlotte at a theater called the McGlowan Theater in that center. And I looked on their website, and it wasn't on the website. So I had to text Ron back, and I said, I don't see the show listed. You know, I'm kind of like, is there really a show? And I said, what time is the show? That's the way I put it. I didn't say, are you really going to be here? I said, what time's the show? He said, he texted me back and he said, oh, he said, I just talked to our manager. I didn't realize. He said, it's a private show. He said, it's at 7:30. I said, I look forward to seeing you. So we got there and beautiful place downtown Charlotte. Maybe you've been there. And we kind of walked in. There's a whole bunch of people in this lobby, and they're eating shrimp and prime rib. And we go into this table, and I said, I think there's some tickets here for us. And the lady said, oh, here they are. And there's this VIP card that said Alison Krauss on it. And I said, what is this? She said, this is a music club, and I came to realize that what it is a private club of people. I guess they pay dues, and they, a few times a year, bring in world-renowned musicians to come perform in this small 730-seat venue in downtown Charlotte because they love great music and love the intimacy of that environment. And surely you're paying a premium for this. And they have a big gathering with food beforehand and a big party afterwards. So I just kind of looked. I said, so she said, yeah, this is the pre-gathering thing. She said, help yourselves to anything. And Ann and I were like, what are we doing here? And I quickly overcame my imposter syndrome when I saw the shrimp on ice. And the man carving the prime rib and making little sandwiches. And I was like, the shrimp and the prime rib is here. And I'm telling you, we went in. I think it might have been one of the most beautiful musical events I've ever been to. Allison sang so beautifully. Ron and the band played it was beautiful. The acoustics is an old church. The venue, it's just gorgeous. And it was so moving. And at the end, these people that appreciated music have paid so much for the privilege of this intimate environment. stood to their feet and clapped and clapped and clapped. And so she came back out to do an encore, and it was just silence. And she just started a cappella, her voice, prettiest voice, voice of an angel. And she just started and sang, "It is well with my soul." It was gorgeous. So the lady at the table had said, you know, there's a note here. It says, go to the red steps afterwards. And so what, you know, and I thought, well, I'll go see Ron. And so after the show, I go and I show my VIP card to an usher. And I said, I think I'm going to go meet, you know, some people in the band or some friends. And he said, I don't know anything about that. He said, there's an after party, and it's going to be at such and such building downtown. I said, no. I said, and I asked another usher. I said, nobody told us anything about that. Nobody's going back to meet Ron and Allison after the show. They're, you know. And I said, well, something about some red steps. He said, well, the big red steps around there. So we went over and we walked up the big red steps and went through some glass doors and then looked over there, and there was Ron Block. And said, hey, Ron. And we went and talked and called up a little bit. And he said, hey, come get on the elevator. So I know Allison wanted to say hi to you. We had just met her a few times at different conferences, and she's just sweet as can be. And went up there and hugged her neck and talked about her son and showed each other pictures of our kids and talked a little bit. And as we're walking back to the car that night, and I was just thinking, you know, these people that just love music so much, and here we just came and just freebied our way into this thing. And every single person here would love to go up there and just chat with Allison Krauss. And I said, but you can't. I don't care how much you spend on the club. You don't get a ticket for that, right? There's only one way you get it, and that is if she or Ron gives it to you. What I'm trying to say is God not only can be known, he wants to be known because he wants to know you. And therefore, he, by his own sovereign grace, came in the person of Jesus Christ to stand in your place and take your penalty so that your sin would be paid for. It has been paid for. And that you could be reckoned to be the righteousness of Jesus because your sin is gone, and he looks upon you with the same regard that he looks upon his son. We were praying before this morning's service, and one of our elders was just thanking the Lord for what he's done for us. And he said, Lord, just help us to really take this to heart that you love us as much as you love Jesus. And I dared to add to it, and I said, and Lord, help us know this even greater astonishing truth, that we have the same access to you that Jesus does. Because we're either reckoned 100% righteous and holy, or we're not. And the gospel says, you have been. You may not feel it, you may not know it, and you might feel a whole lot like Ann and I did, like, what are we at here? What red steps? Where is what? But the fact of the matter is, if you have been given such a ticket, you might as well embrace it. Because God has done this for you, and he is honored to know you. I end with the words of J.I. Packer in his classic, Knowing God. What matters supremely, he writes, therefore, is not in the last analysis the fact that I know God, but the larger fact which underlies it, the fact that he knows me. I am graven on the palms of his hands. I'm never out of his mind. All my knowledge of him depends on his sustained initiative in knowing me. I know him because he first knew me and continues to know me. He knows me as a friend, one who loves me. And there is no moment when his eye is off me or his attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when his care falters. This is momentous knowledge. There is unspeakable comfort in knowing that God is constantly taking knowledge of me in love and watching over me for my good. There is tremendous relief in knowing that his love to me is utterly realistic, based at every point on prior knowledge of the worst about me, so that no discovery now can disillusion him. It's wonderful to be known by God. our dear brother, missionary in our denomination, pastor in our presbytery, Andrew Brunson, was released on Friday after 2 years of wrongful incarceration and false accusations that had been leveled against him for participating in a conspiracy of a coup against the government. And we have been praying for him and receiving secret communications from the head of our denomination about strategies to pray for him, and all of the efforts of 2 years were realized, and he was set free, and he came home, and this morning's paper had a picture of him praying for the President of the United States in the Oval Office. And the president said, that's quite something in 24 hours to go from a Turkish prison to the Oval Office. And I thought about Andrew and the witness of his life now, and wondered about all the ways that God was going to use him. And I thought of that image of how everything can turn from a moment of slavery, enslavement to hostile persecutors, and in the next moment being invited into the highest place of privilege and power. And how like our gospel. What Paul's saying is that you once were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, and that legalism of your life and religiosity of your life, it was just slavery. But you came through the blood of the Lord Jesus into an intimate knowledge of God. He knows you. And for the rest of your life on earth and for all eternity, you get to enjoy knowing him better and better. And that's the gospel.
Alan Wright. And today's teaching, Free to Know God. It's in our series, Unleashed, and I encourage you to stay with us. Alan is back in the studio here in a moment, sharing his parting good news thought for the day.
This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. Those timeless words from Jeremiah 30 reveal the heart of God. He loves to restore. In ancient times, cities would often be rebuilt on top of the ruins of the former city. The new city would stand higher, with safer walls and a greater perspective. In Pastor Alan Wright's 8-message CD album, Out of the Ruins, you'll discover how God can rebuild your life gloriously out of yesterday's disappointments. When you make your gift to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll send you Pastor Alan's messages in an attractive CD album or through digital download as our way of saying thanks for your partnership. Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org. Unlock the power of blessing your life. Discover God's grace-filled vision for your life by signing up for Alan Wright's free daily blessing. If you want to fill your heart with grace and encouragement, get Alan Wright's daily blessing. It's free and just a click away at pastoralan.org.
Back here in the studio, Alan, I hear what you're saying too. So God knows us intimately.
Yeah.
And there's freedom for us to know the God of the universe intimately.
The thing that just absolutely bends my mind, and I just encourage every listener, just think about this again, that the only way that you would be able to ever know some famous celebrity or some great world leader or your favorite sports figure or whatever it might be, or someone you would really want to know but was beyond you, the only way would be if that person wanted to know you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so God wants not only for you to know him, he wants to be known. And so he came to you in the person of Jesus. Oh. And this is the greatest freedom in our life, is we are free to actually know personally the Creator. That's amazing.
If you only caught part of today's teaching, not only can you listen again online, but also get a daily email devotional that matches today's teaching, delivered right to your email inbox, free. Find out more about these and other resources at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Today's good news message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.